Venture X from Capital One is the travel card for people always asking,
where next?
You earn 10x miles on hotels and rental cars and 5x miles on flights booked through Capital One Travel and 2x miles on everything else you buy with Venture X. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges. The Venture X card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
As you know, with a new year sometimes comes a few changes. A change for us is that we'll be taking a hiatus in several markets at the beginning of the new year. Denver, Atlanta, Portland, Little Rock, Orlando, and Tampa. At the start of 2023, we will not be broadcasting in these radio markets. However, if you are in those cities, you can still listen to What's Right, What's Left online at thewordcleveland.com. That's thewordcleveland.com. Cleveland, as you know, is our home market. We expect that this hiatus will be temporary, but we need to take a hiatus while we catch up on a few bills. We are a donor-supported ministry, so thank you to those of you who have been supporting us from those cities. And we look forward to getting back with you on the radio in those cities as soon as possible.
Alrighty, we are back. And folks, I wanted to just say those stations that were just mentioned, we still have 19 days. We have 19 days left. Now, let me tell you, it would take a miracle, actually. I can say this. We've done all that we can do. And I mean, when I tell you I've done all, you wouldn't believe what we've done trying to stay on those stations. Now, we've built up some real friendships over the years. And I know many of you aren't on the internet, so with many of you, you might have a hard time getting us, but and we would love to stay on the stations, but now it's up to you. On all of those stations that you've listened to us, if we had a big influx, I mean, we would really need to get some major donations from you. If that happens, we can stay on those stations. We've got 19 days, so pray for us that we can do it if we can continue. Our job, you know, is not going to be over till the Lord returns. As we're in now, there's never been a time, never, ever, ever been a time that we've been needed as much as we are right now today. And we'll be talking more about that. We've got some things coming up, some real stories coming up in the very near future. So anyhow, with that, we have here pretty much live. In the studio, who are you people? No, we have Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
Okay, and we have Radical Randy.
It's good to talk to you for the first time, because since I've talked to you last, a year has passed. So be blessed, no stress.
All righty. And in there, crossed in the glass there, in their together. We put them in there and watch them to see if they'll fight. But they're doing okay tonight, and that's Craig and Style. All right.
Just for tonight.
There you go. They're okay. They're doing okay. Now, joining us out there from Illinois, we have Dr. Peter Glidden.
Ho, 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 ho. Oh, wait a minute. I'm a little late on that. Happy New Year.
All right. Very good. We've got a lot of stuff to get going, so we're going to get right into it. And tonight, the title of the message there, Peter, was A Royal Priesthood in a Holy Nation. Now, later on, I'm going to ask you some questions about what's happening with our food. And I don't want to forget that because there's a lot of things going on out there, but I'll talk to you about that at the end of the program, or the end of the
very good
scripture. So as we go through, Randy, I want you to read verses 18. We're in 1 Peter chapter 3 through 20. Read verses 18 through 20.
Okay, you got it. For Christ also hath once suffered for the sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometimes were disobedient, when once in the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved.
Okay,
by water.
So now here, who was the just and who was the unjust?
Obviously, there were eight just people with Noah and his family, and the world was unjust.
Yes.
Well, not really.
Okay.
He's saying, for Christ hath now once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. Okay.
Okay.
So Christ was the just. Christ was the only one.
Okay.
Yes.
There was nobody else that had not sinned. Okay.
That's right.
But
okay.
Now, what you're talking about, those eight were, through Noah, were considered to be righteous.
Right.
Okay, but there's a difference between being just and righteous. So now,
okay,
here, so that included all mankind, okay? Christ had suffered for the sins of all mankind. Now, often you'll hear people, and Peter, if you have a question, just jump in. You'll hear people say, well, Christ died for everybody. Did Christ die for everybody?
No, he did not.
See, that's one of the most misunderstood statements out there in the Bible. Let me ask you this. If he had died for everybody, what would have been the purpose of him dying for everybody?
Well, to be to save everybody.
For everybody would
yes.
be saved.
Everybody would be saved. Right?
Does God accomplish his goals?
Yes.
You mean in terms, well, God's goal is for everybody to be saved, but he doesn't accomplish
it. Well, what I was saying, if his purpose to die for everybody so that they would be saved, then everybody would have been saved.
Right.
Okay. Now, well, how do we know that? Now, he tells you in Romans chapter 8, starting with verse 28, exactly who he died for, okay? Now, it was not God's will that any should come short,
right?
That any would die unsaved, but he knew that, and they were predestined. Now, Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If I go to prepare you a place, I'll come back for you. Did he prepare a place for the wicked?
No.
Well, he did. It is. It's called hell.
Well, I'm talking about in heaven. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Heaven,
so.
Okay.
So here now, you know, these are things that people misunderstand.
Okay.
In scripture. So again, he tells you exactly. Now, how did he know that? Because God is omniscient, meaning, right. He knew exactly who would receive him. He knew exactly who would reject him, right?
That's right.
Yes.
Okay. Is God angry with the wicked every day?
Yes.
Every day.
Every day. So now he says here, being quickened by the Spirit, by which he went and preached into the spirits in prison. Who were the spirits in prison?
You know what? I it's funny, when I went over that, I realized that I really didn't know.
Okay, those were the fallen angels, angels that
they
perished during the flood, and so he says here, which sometimes were disobedient when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that eight souls were saved by water. So here, those when he went down, and what did he preach to them, do you think? In Hades. He went to Hades. Christ, when he died, remember when he was on the cross, he said it was finished. He ascended down into Hades. And what did he preach to those? Okay, condemnation. He had finished it. When he died on the cross, when he said it is finished, he defeated death and hell. Okay, so he had gone to those spirits that were in prison, and he preached their final condemnation. Now, and so here he goes on to say, waiting in the days of Noah, the ark preparing there, and few, and eight souls were saved by water. Water. How were they saved by water?
The few that were saved were in the ark.
Okay. You would have thought that the ark saved them then. Actually, see, now, how does, when you have the flood and the ark, it was a type of the rapture of the church. How would the flood and the ark be a type of the rapture of the church?
Well, it's like us, in the end, as they taught us as a kid, God gave Noah the rainbow sign, no more water, fire next time. So for Noah, they were saved from the water, like we'll be saved from the fire. Is that correct? I don't know.
Okay. During the rapture of the church, what happens, okay? The church is taken up, up into the first heaven, and immediately what takes place on earth? The tribulation period.
Yes. Yep.
So the tribulation period done on the earth, you've got judgment taking place.
Yes.
Now, during the flood, when the waters rose up to the first heaven above Mount Arden, so that they rose up to the first heaven, they were taken up. Noah and his eight were taken up off the earth.
Right, so I'm understanding that like the rapture, we'll be taken up off the earth. Okay.
And what was taking place down on earth at the time?
Judgment.
Judgment was taking place. So it was a type of that, right?
And okay.
So
you're saying that people are being, the people, we'll call them the righteous, if you will, are being separated and being removed from the judgment that's happening on the earth.
Yeah, and so you're going to have, so actually the ark was a type of Christ. The ark was a type of Christ.
Okay.
Yes. Okay. Because we're saved within Christ.
Okay? That's right.
Now here he goes on to say, the like figure, now listen to what he says, the like figure whereunto even baptism doth now also save us, not putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God. Okay, so now here we identify with Christ in baptism. It's not the ceremony that saves us, right?
Right.
That's right.
You get baptized because you're saved, not to be saved, right? What is the purpose of baptism is our profession, right, of an inner man's profession to the world of an inner possession of what? Salvation, right?
That's right.
And so here, baptism actually is like it's a symbol of the transformation.
Of what's already taken place.
Well, that what happens in the hearts of men, that's what he's referring to, okay? So he goes on to say, but it doesn't, when the symbolism is you go in, and why is the symbolism of baptized by immersion the only one that makes any sense at all?
Because it's like burying somebody, and you don't bury somebody sprinkled in dirt. You tuck them into the earth, if you will, underground.
Well, that probably could have an application, but really what it is you take them under with their sins.
Okay.
And they go under the water with their sin, and when they come up, their sins are washed away.
Okay.
And they come up clean. That's that. Now, that only works with immersion. Now, how do we know that immersion is the right way of baptizing, not sprinkling or...
Jesus was baptized.
Yeah, and sprinkling was never mentioned in the Bible.
Okay, there's not one instance of anybody ever being baptized. Well, how do we know that you don't baptize infants?
Because how can an infant profess his faith, his faith?
So there's not one example of anybody being baptized unless they was done on their profession of faith in Christ as a Savior, right?
That is correct.
Right. So we know that then that doesn't work. Right? Mm-hmm. So with that, okay, I think we're going to stop right there for tonight in the Scripture. And I wanted to again, tell the folks out there, Peter, we're going to have to go off about six stations come the 25th, unless we get a miracle. And that's what God's good at miracles, isn't he? And
God's really good at miracles.
And so, and if we do go off them, they can still listen to us on what? TheWordCleveland.com, right? If they're on the internet. But anyhow, Mike, I would encourage the people out there listening right now while they can, if they don't get our newsletter, to get our newsletter. It's very important because we send out a lot of information. Now, I wanted to say, too, this coming Sunday, we played a clip. Peter, I played a clip last night, which we had played about a month ago, just a little pieces of it, talking about where all of this is coming from here, the vax, and it's all coming from the Department of Defense. The reason these courts and everybody were so afraid, where they all backed down, it was because of the Department of Defense, and because according to the FDA and others, you're supposed to put the list, the ingredients you put into these vaxes, unless so ordered by the Department of Defense. The Department of Defense is immune from any of these. So this is what has been taking place, and people don't realize it. And not only have they been behind killing and depopulating many in this country, but also they're behind it, you know, throughout the world, okay? America is not the good guy anymore. Our intelligence agencies, President Kennedy, President Reagan, they wanted to do away with the CIA, and President Trump also did. And so... anyhow, now, there's a lot of things happening right now that I don't think are coincidental. Tomorrow we have the case, the hearing of the Bronson brothers. Yeah. How does that coincide with what's taking place right now with the Congress, with electing a speaker? There's a lot of things that are happening going on out there. And maybe we should play a little bit of a... Randy, I tell you what, why don't you read that article you had, see if you can find that.
Okay, sure.
And this is one of the reasons, Peter, here is what the Republicans have learned. The Republicans have learned that, one, you can win. Trump taught them they can win. Trump taught them if they fight, they can win, okay? Two, I think what is happening when you have AOC and the squat, these nasty, I mean, really vulgar women. I mean, I've never seen women with such vulgar mouths. All of those women, they cuss, they swear continuously. Vulgar mouths, but they can make a lot of noise, and they screamed and they hollered, and they scared old Joe Biden. And, you know, they scared old Bernie Sanders. And so the Republicans have learned that maybe if you dig in and you learn to scream and you learn to holler, you could take to your advantage, too, because we have a real problem with the rhinos. The rhinos are the ones that betray us, and people are being tired of being betrayed. But go ahead and read that little piece that you have there.
Sure. Flashback. Kevin McCarthy had dinner with Klaus Schwab, spoke at WEF with McConnell's wife. House Majority Leader Kevin McCarthy had dinner with Klaus Schwab while attending the World Economic Forum in 2018. And that's the we'll call it the intro. Representative Kevin McCarthy revealed he had dinner with billionaire Klaus Schwab at the World Economic Forum in 2018 during remarks he made on a panel with Mitch McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, a shipping heiress of Chinese descent. McCarthy attended the World Economic Forum in Davos, Switzerland in 2018, the same year 45th President Donald Trump spoke to the elite group of wealthy business and politicians and journalists. During a 30-minute panel discussion with Chao, formerly Trump's Secretary of State and Transportation, and that's Kirstjen Nielsen, formerly Trump's President of Homeland Security, McCarthy remarked on having dinner with Schwab during the World Economic Forum while describing what, quote, America first, unquote, means to the audience. It says, as I sat around Klaus' dinner last night, what's interesting is that the number of countries who are now talking about their tax system, and it kind of goes on from there. But I think you get the idea that there's a relationship here.
Yeah, that's the idea, and this is one of the things that really have a lot of people really concerned. And so those 20, because you know we've been betrayed and betrayed and betrayed and betrayed every time. You know, we thought we were going someplace. We find out that whether it's McConnell or whoever, the rhinos seem to be, you know, sticking it right between our shoulder blades. Now, in a few minutes, we should have a guy called Mike Petrucelli. Mike is running for the head of the Board of Elections. He's just going to call and he's going to just make an announcement on what we need to do tomorrow, because there's elections on Saturday. And you've got Mike, who's going to be running. Mike is the founder of the Geauga County Tea Party. He's a hardcore Christian patriot, very conservative. The people that he's running against are rhinos. So he's up and so he's going to make a plea to the people out there to call their central committee men. And the central committee men are the ones that vote on whoever the Board of Elections speaker is going to be. And that's very, very important, because they're the ones that decide which candidates our party supports, okay? And so it's very important that people listen tonight. When this is for the state of Ohio, and actually for the county of Geauga, for people listening out there tonight, you really need to listen, and if you can help, if you know who your central committeeman is, give them a call and tell them to vote for Mike Petrucelli. So Mike should be calling in on that here in a few minutes, hopefully. Meanwhile, before we come up to a break, Peter, I was going to ask you here. I'm understanding now that they're giving this mRNA, the vaccine, to cows, to hogs, to sheep, and chickens now. They're putting that in our meat supply.
Fantastic.
Pardon?
Fantastic.
Yeah. I mean, and here too, I also understand, well, you know what, hang tight, we've got Mike real quick. Bring Mike up. Mike, I just
hey,
gave...
Mr. Sanders.
How are you, my friend?
Good, how are you? Thank you for this evening.
Well, good. Tell the folks what they need to do. I was just telling them that you're running for the head of the Board of Elections out there. Tell them what they need to do.
I'll tell you, if they go to the website, Board, B-O, elections.geauga.ohio.gov. They go on that website. There's a menu bar. They hit the menu bar, and they can go down, and a menu pops up. They can go to elected officials on that and tap on that, and it brings them up to a screen that says display officials. It says, please select the district type. You go in there and you put down and you scroll down via drop down. Scroll all the way to the bottom, it'll say Central Committee Members. And then right below that, there's another section that says Select the District Name and Filter Results. Click that and go to Republican Central Committee. Then they can display the officials. It lists all the officials that are elected Central Committee people who'll be making these votes for this position come Saturday morning. Now, it doesn't have the phone numbers on this list, but if they know any of these people, they should contact them. There's 72 of them. They know them, contact them, and ask them to support me. I mean, that's basically it.
Okay, now, again, we have two options. You've been a hardcore Christian patriot. You were the founder of the Jug County Tea Party. The opposition. The opposition, would you say, would be Rhino?
Yes. I would say that's the opposition is the chairman of the Jug County Republican Party and causes a lot of division in the Republican Party in Jug County.
Was that chairman was the one that was encouraging Democrats to register as Republicans and vote for the candidates, the Democrats that they were running as Republicans?
That's exactly correct.
And did we not warn people here before any of that happened on this radio program that was not only going to take place in our county, but statewide, the Democrats were running there and they were encouraging people to register in the primaries Republicans and vote for these Democrats who were running as Republicans. And so
Pastor, you're exactly right. And you know, that's the strategy. It's an ancient strategy done by the Chinese. Infiltrate and go in and deceive and take over. And that's what the Democrats have been doing in our county for a long time.
Okay,
so not only in our county, in our state, and in our country.
All right, Mike, I want to, again, encourage the people out there, all of you folks out there. I hope you know who your central committeeman is. There is no phone number to call, but they're listed on there to find in their district who their central committeeman is. But they should know. Lord, I would hope they would know.
And right. So, for example, if they live in Munson and they're in Precinct A, that's Frank Galea. Now, Frank Galea's number is probably in the phone book someplace.
Okay. Very good. If they live in, say, Novelty,
that would be Russell. And I'm going to scroll down this page because it lists all the townships. Okay. And that would be Russell Township. And if they live in Russell Township, and they vote in Precinct A, when they go to the voting polls, they have to go to their precinct and vote. So if they're in Precinct A, that would happen to be our county commissioner, Tim Lennon.
Okay. And
if
also,
they were in Precinct B, that would be Carolyn Heather Cooper.
Yep. Not Cooper, Copper.
Copper, I'm sorry.
Yep. That's her. She happens to be my secretary. And there you go.
There you go. I mean, so, you know, those, I mean, I wish they would, they should put contact names on these public documents because we represent our constituents in our precincts. They elect us to petition our government for them. You know, and that's what we should be doing. I mean, people should call me all the time and talk to me.
All right, folks.
And I appreciate it.
Right now, I want to endorse Mike because I've known him for a long time, and he is one of us. We're tired of rhinos. We've got to stand up. So, get in touch with your committee precinct member and tell him to support Mike out there. All of you in Jug County. So, do you want to say anything else, Mike?
No, I just want to thank you for all you do for the conservative movement. For Republicans in our county and the preaching that you do and all the events that you so wonderfully manage to handle. I don't know how you find all the time, but God bless you for all you do.
Well, thanks. Thank you so much for those kind words. God bless my friend, and I got to get going to a break. So hopefully they'll be out there. I know you got our vote. I know that for a fact. All righty.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you, everybody.
God bless. All right. Let's go to a break.
I had this crazy dream about some folks who love this country who all began to dream the same dream. When the morning came, there arose across this nation people thinking one and the same. And they woke to find their freedoms and all their liberties had gradually been taken away. And when they realized the danger to their posterity, I heard those patriotic people say, when the stars and stripes forever symbolized her glorious name, America. But now it's all been changed, and when we gaze upon old glory, it's hard to fight back feelings of shame. We're fed up with lying politicians and greedy corporations who have sold us out time and again. And we're sick and tired of sending our soldiers off to wars that we were never meant to win. We want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back. She's been driven way out. Is right, and our victory's on the way, and we won't give up the fight till we hear 200 million say, we want this country back. We ain't just joking, Jack. We want our liberty and our dignity and our freedoms and our rights restored. We want this country back, and we ain't taking any more back. Awaken, we're madder than hell now, and we ain't gonna take it anymore. No, we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore. That's right, we're not gonna take it anymore. We said we're not gonna take it anymore.
No, we're not gonna take it anymore. Some of us have been fighting from the last 40 years, and we haven't taken it, and we're not about to take it. And I've got Dr. Peter Glidden here with me, and he's going to tell you what you can do to avoid all of that food that they have that they're putting the mRNA in. I don't know, Peter, what do they want to do? They want to now start regulating holistic medicine. Are we going to allow it, or are we going to fight back?
No, we're going to fight back. It's a big fight. You know, I floated an idea to the Trump administration in the final term, and I know that people in their side looked at it. And the idea was simply to create a federal Department of Holistic Medicine, giving the doctors like myself, who are actually trained in the use of vitamins and minerals and botanical medicines and homeopathic medicines, et cetera, the ability to regulate those things and to take that ability away from the pharmaceutical industry, away from the Food and Drug Administration, because the Food and Drug Administration is populated by medical professionals who have no training, no experience, no appreciation, and no respect for these things. And they're basically jackbooted thugs of the pharmaceutical industry, not working on behalf of the American public, not working on behalf of public health, but working to promote the pharmaceutical agenda, which is to completely control the medical marketplace. The only way that we can get on the other side of this is if a meteor hits planet Earth and hits the reset button, or if we create a federal department of holistic medicine, and that's what needs to happen. So, you know, I'm looking for support in the Senate and Congress right now. Hopefully I'm going to be talking to Josh Hawley next week. I have a contact there. I might be talking to the Surgeon General of Florida shortly, but we'll see as time goes by. This is what needs to happen because this is massive overreach, and I'm telling you why they're doing this. They're trying to regulate homeopathic medicines now, to take homeopathic medicines off of the shelf after telling everybody for 100 years that homeopathic medicines were placebo, that there was nothing in the homeopathic medicine, that it was all quack medicine. It was all pseudoscience nonsense, and there was nothing in there. There was nothing in there is what their mantra was over and over and over again. Now they've reversed their position, and all of a sudden, oh, the homeopathic medicines need to be regulated as drugs, which is ridiculous. The reason that they want to regulate them as drugs is to remove them from the public marketplace. That's the only reason that they want to do it. Also, they would eliminate the use of homeopathic medicines in the United States because the companies that make the homeopathic medicines would not be able to comply with the egregious testing and the amount of money that needs to happen in order to bring these things to the marketplace. It's ridiculous. It's overreach of biblical proportions, and these people have no shame. Their intention here is to corner the market and to take safe and effective curative medicine away from the hands of the public, and they should be ashamed of themselves.
So like what they've done in Europe, where they've taken like vitamin C, where they've lessened the dosage,
right?
They've weakened it so much, and not just, you know, all of these things. And so what they did is they weaken the vitamin, and then they raise the prices on it. And that's exactly
right.
What they want to do here. It's but we've, what do we get into? First of all, we've got to get Congress back. And
that's right.
And so we're looking at what's...
By the way, McCarthy is a globalist scum, by the way, in this doctor's opinion.
Okay. Well, he's that with a lot of people right now. What do you make of... with what's taking place now, this all coincides right now with what's going to happen tomorrow. Tomorrow, the Supreme Court rules on the Brunson case. If they rule by constitution, that means you don't have to worry about those, because a whole lot of those congressmen will be gone. They'll be gone. They'll be removed from office for violation of their oath of office.
Well, what they're ruling on tomorrow is whether or not they're going to hear the case.
Yeah.
Whether or not they're going to actually rule on the case. There's like 700 cases that they pick and choose from on the first Friday of the year. They have to pick 40 of them that they're actually going to rule on. And perhaps the Brunson case will be one of the cases that they're going to pick.
Well, that was filed as an emergency case. That was filed not as a regular case, but the reason they took that in so quick. So in a case like that, the Supreme Court could actually hear it and rule on it on the same day.
Well, that would be interesting if they did it. You know, what that would mean if they did that is that the members of the Supreme Court would have to rule against the people that put them in the seats at the Supreme Court. And, you know, that's assuming that the people at the Supreme Court are not members of the swamp. And I'm not so sure about that. But it's going to be an interesting day.
Well, it would be, there's 100 congressmen that stood there and said, look, they showed up, and they said this election should not be certified. We're holding right now, we are holding evidence right in front of you. And it was Mike Pence's job. It was his duty to say, okay, before I can verify this and certify this election, I have to look at that material quick, because that's the law. If you have a complaint, they're supposed to look at it. They're supposed to hear the complaint, right?
And 100%.
And he refused to do that. And
I mean,
so
if they hear it, it's a slam dunk, right, from a legal point of view, if they're honest and forthright and are doing what they were, supposed to do when they took their oath of office, if they take an oath of office as a Supreme Court judge. But then the question becomes, are they honorable people?
Well, we know this. We know this, that those people, the Biden regime, the Democrats, want to stack the courts. They want to have 17 judges, and they want to limit those that are there. In fact, right now, they're actually pressuring the liberals on there to resign so he can appoint even worse, okay? And they're against that, so that they realize that their jobs may be up. What do you think?
Well, you know, I think that it's going to be a miracle if the Supreme Court hears this. And, you know, I was listening to one of the, there was a representative from Texas yesterday. I forget the guy's name. He's the bald guy. And he was standing up and making a great speech about why he was against McCarthy. And he was talking all about, you know, draining the swamp and that it can't be business as usual and that they need to reinstitute the old rules that they always had in the Congress in order to make the voting process more fair. And it was a great speech, and everything that he said made 100% sense. And it seemed, in listening to him, that there was support from other members that wanted the same thing, that they actually understand that it's a broken system, and they understand that it needs to be fixed, and they also understand that they're the only ones that can fix it. So, I mean, maybe it's time for a miracle, Pastor. I certainly hope so, because we've had so much BS in the last 3 years, it's almost untenable.
Well, that's what we're looking at. God's got a pocket full of miracles. But, you know, we've got our instructions. We've got our marching orders, and we have got to, like soldiers of the cross, just go ahead and do what we're told to do. God's Word, the Bible, is very, very clear. He gives us three main missions. And that is one, the Great Commission, first and foremost. Second, from Genesis to Revelation, it's very, very clear. Resistance to tyranny is obedience to God. Failure to resist tyranny is always disobedience. And then we are to hold to the traditions of the apostles. We are to stand fast and not give up any ground. So those, in other words, not be conformed to the ways of this world. So we have our marching orders, and as we know, that the people that fill the pews of what is supposed to be churches, only a small percentage of them are actually saved. Many have a profession of faith, but we know that only a very small actually have a possession, if you will, of salvation. So we're the remnant. We know how it ends. You know, God's Word, the Bible, is very clear. It's perfectly accurate. Anyhow, after saying all that, everybody is sick, and I know why. You have written two books, and boy, everybody is sick. One more question, let me before
laugh when I hear that title, but it's apropos because I mean, you know, orange is the new black, whatever. Obesity is the new normal. Thank you very much, Izzo. And everybody's sick, man. And you look around; everybody's taking a prescription medicine for something. Everybody's got something. And the reason that everybody is sick isn't because people are getting older, isn't because of chemtrails, isn't because of bad genes. It's because the medical doctors that people have access to because of the medical monopoly in this country are not trained in how to make people healthy. Medical doctors are trained in disease management. And disease management is excellent for trauma care, for surgery when it's necessary, for military field medicine, for the complications of childbirth and pregnancy, but for not for anything else. And while people have been under the tutelage and care of conventional medical doctors, they're getting sicker, and our life expectancy is getting shorter. MD-directed allopathic medicine is the wrong dog for the hunt if you are expecting to increase your health. So people need to snap out of it. They need to pull their heads out of the sand. They need to look around. They need to call a spade a spade. They need to recognize what's good and what's bad, what's left and what's right, and start to withdraw their support from conventional medical doctors and seek out alternatives, which are science-based and clinically verified, and, oh, yeah, by the way, developed and delivered by licensed physicians, just not licensed medical doctors. And this is a very important thing. ironically, and it sounds funny when I say it, but I guess I'm like Galileo telling people that the Earth is not at the center of the solar system. Or, you know, like whoever it was told people that the Earth wasn't flat, that one of the best, most important things that you can do in order to secure a healthy future is to fire your medical doctor, because their therapeutics are insufficient to that cause. They are, in fact, the wrong dog for that hunt. You need to educate yourself about alternatives and align yourself with medical practitioners who practice alternative forms of medicine, because that's wherein your physical salvation lies.
But aren't we seeing growing numbers of medical doctors that are going over with holistic medicine? I seem to run more and more. We've had a number of them on this radio program here.
Well, there are, but and that tide is changing. But when you look at the numbers totally, you know, when you it's a drop in the bucket. And, you know, a holistically leaning medical doctor is better than a regular medical doctor who's just basically a drug salesman. And, you know, don't get me wrong. Thank God for insulin. Thank God for lidocaine. Thank God for general anesthesia and the sterile technique. It's not the drug. It's how it's used. And but the problem is here, Pastor, and this is an important point, and honestly, I'm one of the only ones in the world that is elucidating this point, is that medical doctors are trained in a particular philosophy of scientific philosophy. And that scientific philosophy is called reductionism. And reductionism, that philosophy carries over when into their use of vitamins and minerals. So a medical doctor who gets frustrated with drugs uses vitamins and minerals and botanical medicines the same way that they use drugs, which is in a reductionistic method. It's not in a healing method. So it's kind of like they become, you know, blue dog Democrats or, you know, rhinos, Republicans in name only. They don't really understand the basic fundamental precepts of the holistic method. And this is a problem. And, you know, again, you can make the argument, and it's a good argument, that it's better to have a functional medicine doctor or a medical doctor leaning towards the holistic way than not. But what's even better is a doctor who's been trained in it from day one, a doctor who's been brought up inside of it, a doctor who understands the philosophy, a doctor who has actual clinical experience with it, because they, in fact, hold the keys to this kingdom.
Well, let me ask you this, because there seems to be an outbreak here in Ohio of chickenpox. And from what I understand, they're putting mRNA in all the vaccines now, that they're going to be putting them in all the vaccines now. And that's what they're trying to do to get around the military, because now that the law is that they can't force them to take the COVID shot, but now they're going ahead and they're putting it in the ones that have already been allowed to take or have been forced to take. So it's about killing us every which way you turn around. And so now here, Cleveland Clinic, about a week or so ago, came out, about 2 weeks ago, and Cleveland Clinic, and I have a family who, relatives, that actually worked there and were told that they had to either take the jab or lose their job. And here they took it, and now the Cleveland Clinic has come out and said, well, you know what? If you've taken it, then you're four times more likely to get COVID. And if you're four times more likely to get COVID, guess what? You're four times more likely to die of COVID, right? And so now some of those people are really angry. Okay, they're very, very angry. And we've had some people that have had some really bad reactions. So what do you think? Well, do you think they should sue or what?
Well, they can't. Well, they can't sue the pharmaceutical industry, because the pharmaceutical industry got a sweetheart deal from the government where they can't be held liable for any damage from any vaccine. That's a great deal, isn't it? But I do think there was about a year ago, there was a group of students from a university that sued the university, and they were successful in their lawsuit because, you know, I don't know what the grounds of the lawsuit was. But basically, they were saying that there was stress induced on them because they were mandated to take the jab, even though the jab, you know, there was no informed consent for it or anything. And they won. And so there is precedent. I think that people need to stand up. I mean, it's either that or take to the street with weapons. I hope it doesn't come to that. But this is a big, bad voodoo daddy. And if, you know, the legal system is the way to get around this, then, you know, I'm in favor of it. There was a big problem, right? One of the Buffalo Bills player, the other guy, Cole Beasley, who had a heart attack a couple days ago and he was playing football.
They were all forced to take the jab to play.
Well, let me tell you an interesting statistic. A really good friend of mine, Dr. Dave Janda, was one of the primary authors who investigated this whole thing. It's a commotio cordis is the technical term for this when you have a heart attack from a blunt force trauma to your chest, right?
Yeah.
Like you're hitting the chest with a baseball, you're hitting the chest with a softball, you're tackled or whatever. And he was the world's leading expert on it, and this was 40 years ago. He testified before Congress about it. He was on the Oprah show about it. He worked with the automobile industry in Detroit to change the way that airbags were configured because airbags were giving people heart attacks when they were deployed for this same reason. As it turns out, football players, adult football players, are lowest on the list of people who suffer from this condition and who die from this condition and who even get this condition in the first place. They're the lowest on the list. It rarely happens in an adult football player, and usually when it does happen in an adult football player, it's because the heart was previously compromised by something. In this case, the heart was previously compromised by the corona vaccine, the non-vaccine vax, the poisonous poke, the gibberish jab, that now the Food and Drug Administration is actually admitting that heart conditions, myocarditis, are a known side effect of the jab. The Food and Drug Administration admits it. And here's a startling statistic. This is crazy when you think about it. Commotio cordis, this heart attack from blunt force trauma in athletes, right? Since, let me find the numbers here. Since, hold on, I want to give you the accurate numbers here. Hold on. Since 2021, 116 athletes have died from this condition. Since 2021, 1,616 athletes have died from this. Before the coronavirus jab, there were 29 deaths a year from this. 29 deaths a year from this. Now, there are 808 deaths a year from this. Why the sudden increase? Because of the myocarditis that's generated by the poisonous poke, and nobody's going to jail.
You know, we were just talking about that last night. Now, Dr. McCullough came out, and he brought that up, but here's an article since you brought it up. Study shows RNA COVID vaccine damages heart muscles, leading to death. Here, a peer-reviewed study published by a group of leading German pathologists showed that autopsy findings in people who died unexpectedly within 20 days of getting injected with mRNA Wuhan coronavirus COVID-19 vaccine showed clear indications of myocarditis destruction or damaged heart muscles.
Right.
These are clearly visible lymphocytes that are not supposed to be there. So.
Yeah, and they're caused by the poisonous poke. And it's proven now. And, you know, so the next question is, well, what are the consequences going to be?
Hang on just a minute. How much time do I have? Okay, hang on, Peter. We're up against hard break. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. More to come.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065.
If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.